Good morning. If you have a Bible, if you would please turn to the book of Amos, Amos chapter 4. We're going to look at a text there in just a few moments. We certainly appreciate your presence here today. It is a beautiful day, and it's a good day for us to come together and worship God. We hope and pray that all that's been said and done here this morning you find to be in accordance with God's Word. If you have any questions about what we do or teach here, please bring that to our attention, and we'll be happy to address that. This is a bit of an unusual morning for us here at Olson Park. If you're visiting with us, one word of explanation. Each year, the elders like to set aside a Sunday in which we sit at the feet of the elders and they talk to us about their plans and hopes for the year ahead. This morning is that morning that they have chosen, and so as a result, our worship service will be a little bit shorter this morning. I'd encourage you to be back with us tonight. We're going to look at the subject of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to make up my time. But I'd like to encourage you to be back with us tonight for that. But this morning we will have a rather short lesson, and then after that the elders will talk to us about where we've been in the past year and what their hopes are for the year ahead. In Amos chapter 4, I'd like for us to begin with verses 11 through 13, which read, "And you have not returned to me." Now, I want to pause for just a moment. The verses right before this, if you have the time to go back and look sometime, you'll notice that the Lord is offering examples and evidence to the people of ways in which he had borne with them. He had offered them those kinds of things that they should have seen as his call to turn back to them in faithfulness. In spite of all of those things, he begins here, "You have not returned to me, says the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you." Notice, "Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind, who declares to man what his thought is and makes the morning darkness, who treads the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts is his name." I called to your attention that phrase as we emphasized in the reading, "Prepare to meet your God." As we think about that, in many ways, this really summarizes what the whole task of human life is. It is from the cradle and to the grave something in which we are preparing ourselves for that day in which we meet God in reality. Now, as Christians, we speak of knowing God and having a relationship with Him. But in a real sense, on that day of judgment, then we will encounter Him in reality. And we will meet Him in judgment, just as He described to those in Amos that He was coming to them in judgment. And they needed to prepare themselves for that. I'd like us to consider the fact that in many ways, really, our entire life is a life of preparation. As we think about it, we, in childhood, live in such a way so that we prepare ourselves for adulthood. We, in school, prepare ourselves. At least the ideal is that our schooling ought to prepare us for what we'll face in work and what we'll face in the world around us. I know I always struggled with that as a student. I didn't know how algebra was going to prepare me for those things. But I'm certain some of you in rather technical areas and technical occupations, all of those elements of your schooling prepare you for what lies ahead. In many ways, even our family life is something that sets the stage, sets the example, shows us the patterns by which we know how to be, or at least we ought to know how to be, the proper kinds of husbands and wives and parents to our children. But in a real way as well, our life is something as we live it from day to day that prepares us for eternity. If you would go with me to the book of Hebrews, the text says Hebrews 10, but Hebrews 9 is what it should say. Hebrews 9, verses 27 through 28, talk to us about an appointment that we all have, an appointment we have with eternity. I'd like you to notice in this text, Hebrews 9, verse 27 and 28, it reads, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." We all have before us that appointment in which we will either die prior to the judgment and be resurrected to stand before God in judgment, or if we are alive when the Lord returns, when He comes back this second time, apart from sin for salvation, we will stand before Him in judgment. We need to see our life as something in which we are preparing for that day. We need to recognize that in spiritual things, all of the things that we do spiritually are aimed at preparation as well. You know, Brother Curtis preached to us a lesson last week in which he talked to us about preparation for worship. And he did an excellent job. I think we need to kind of augment that in recognizing that worship itself, when we come together and worship in spirit and in truth, in many respects, we need to see this as something that prepares us for that time in which we meet God in judgment. And we will see Him as He is. We need to recognize that when we study our Bibles, it is something that ought to prepare us to know God's will. You very well think that God will want those to spend eternity with Him that have a complete disregard for His Word and for His will? Absolutely not. So when we study our Bibles, it's not just a matter of learning knowledge for knowledge's sake. Instead, we are preparing to come into the presence of Almighty God with an awesome understanding that He holds authority over us and that we submit ourselves to His will. A life in which we practice and follow holiness is something that prepares us to live with God. The one who is of purer eyes than to look upon evil cannot bear the rebel, cannot put up with the one that disregards His command. And so when we chasten our life, when we control our lives, we are preparing ourselves to live with Him. And our obedience to Him prepares us for that time in which we will stand before Him in judgment. You know, it would be a sad thing if we live a life in which we disregard His commands, and on that day of judgment we come before Him in shame. Now, the child of God, while he humbly will recognize his sinfulness, can recognize and appreciate that having come to Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, as we live faithful and obedient lives to Him, will cover our sins. And we can come before Him with humble boldness. Turn over with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel for a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 7. In the days of the judges, in the days in which the early kings were beginning to rule in Israel, we find, as so often in the history of Israel, there were times in which the people would turn back to idolatry and turn to error and falsehood. I want you to notice that in the midst of this problem, Samuel speaks to the people in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And in verse 3, gives some advice to them, some instruction to them, that touches on something we need to think about in our day as well. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3, "Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, 'If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you,'" notice this, "'and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines.'" Notice this idea that they were urged to prepare their hearts for the Lord. There are some things that we need to do in this process of preparation. There are some things that we need to do in order to prepare our hearts and our lives for the Lord. And this applies to every aspect and every stage of our life. We're talking about children. We need to prepare ourselves when we grow up to be Christian men and women. We need to live our lives in such a way so that we can one day be teachers. We can be elders. We can be deacons. We can be Christian wives and mothers. And that's a choice we have to make as we're children. When we grow to be teenagers, we need to avoid those kinds of choices that can impair our future life in Christ. How many young people are there who, because of the foolishness of youth, will allow themselves to give in to this temptation or give in to that choice or that problem that may handicap them for life because of the way in which they failed to prepare? As teenagers, we need to set an example for those around us that is sound and worthy of respect. May it not be that we allow ourselves such liberty in sinfulness that we then face adulthood with shame looking back on our life as teenagers. But then as we grow,
As adults, we need to lead lives which focus each day on the imminence of Christ's return. When we read in Amos those words, prepare to meet your God, we must set that before our mind's eye at every stage of our life. Is there ever a day when we could say, well, I don't have to think about it today? No, as adults, we should recognize it could be today. It could be this evening. It could be before this sermon is over. And so we set that before our minds as our focus. And as adults, we need to recognize each day that really, even though we're not before God in judgment, we stand in the presence of God as He looks upon us and sees the way we live our lives, sees the way we treat one another, sees the way we use our mouths and the actions that we take. We need to recognize that when God blesses us, the children, we have great responsibility. We need to raise those children in a way that is godly. Raise them to recognize and understand the authority of God. We don't rule ourselves. Even as parents, though, we have authority over children that is governed by the Word of God. And unless we instill within them an understanding that we stand in the presence of God, we only exercise any kind of authority under submission to the authority of God. That will help us to raise children that will respect that as well. We need to help them learn the Bible and to see within the pages of the Bible. Not something that's just a matter of filling out an assignment for a Bible class, but within the pages of the Bible are all of the things that we need for life and we need for worship in order to be pleasing to God. When we grow to that point that we refer to as midlife, we need to make certain that we don't feel some sense of loss from youth gone by. As Christians, we have no time for midlife crises. There's too much to do. There's too much that has to go on. Instead, we must stay focused. We must recognize that our joy, our vigor, our hope, our vitality doesn't rest in some youth passed by, but rests in that age to come and focus on the work that is before us. And when we grow to old age, we must keep working in the kingdom. There's no time to stop. There's no time to give it over to youth. Instead, we need to recognize that the young need us whether they realize it or not. We need to not become discouraged when we see disrespect for age or when we see life around us not as it should be. There's work to do. Ralph Waldo Emerson had a very good statement that I think addresses our point this morning. Don't waste life in doubts and fears. Spend yourself on the work before you, well assured that the right performance of this hour's duties will be the best preparation for the hours and ages that will follow it. In a spiritual sense, how true that is. I want us to end by asking ourselves, are we preparing ourselves? Are we viewing our life as something that is a life of preparation? Go back to the book of Ecclesiastes with me for a moment. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And I want you to hold your place there. We're going to look at a couple of readings there. But Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the wise man talks to us about that attitude that we need to have, in which we see the different stages of our life as something that prepares us. Notice with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. It says, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Are we preparing ourselves by remembering our Creator? Remembering that we were not made of an accident? Remembering that we've not made ourselves? We stand before a Creator to whom we must give an account. But hold your place there and turn over to Matthew chapter 6. And I want us to ask ourselves, are we laying up for ourselves treasure in heaven? Our days are very busy. And it seems as time goes on and we grow older, that there's more and more things that demand our time. And I recognize that many of those are wholesome and good, and we cannot help the obligations that may come into our life. But let's make certain that in the process of all of those other things that take our time and energy, we are laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Matthew chapter 6 and the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us this: do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Finally, go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And I want us to notice the very end of this book, in which the wise man sums it all up for us. What our focus, what our purpose is. And I want us to think about this. Are we preparing our lives by fearing our God and keeping His commandments? Read with me verse 13 and 14 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. One translation says this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. That's preparing ourselves to meet our God. If you're here this morning, you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would urge you this very day to prepare to meet your God by putting your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Confess that faith before men. Repent and turn from the sin that separated you from your God. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of sin, and the Lord will add you to His body. You'll stand prepared for that day in which you will meet God. We can help you. Won't you come? While we stand and sing.